Blog Talk Radio. Preview.
Hello, once again. Hello. It is March the 21st, 2020, and you have tuned into another episode of the Saturday Spotlight with your host, the one, the only, that's E-R-Y, not R-E-Y, R-O-S-H-E-L-L, author Jeffrey Rochelle. Tonight, we talked to a very humbling spirit who I've come to know over the last couple of months by the name of author Davida Buckman Reed. We talked to author Davida Buckman Reed tonight. And like I said, she's a very humbling spirit. I came to meet her through E. Rain Taroniak, otherwise known as Ebony, when Ebony had her interview back in December. And ever since then, praiseworthy or whatever, even on Facebook, Davida has been there to encourage me as well as I've been there to encourage her and thus forth. So tonight she is our featured author, Davida Buckman Reed. But before we talk to Davida, let's recap the week as always. So, where do I start? I know everybody's been like, what the hell is going on? It's just like this coronavirus just done came in, and man, first of all, they was warning us about it. Next week, stuff started shutting down. The week after that, stuff started indefinitely shutting down, and that was to the point that they're locking cities down to not really do anything but to come and get groceries, gas. If you're a healthcare worker, you work in, that's it. You know, that's it. You just want to get the bare necessities, groceries, gas. If you're a healthcare worker, you working, and you're working with a letter. They've given people out letters. If you're in the healthcare field, you're getting a letter, and that letter is your passport, I call it. I call it a passport. It's your passport to be out in case the police pull you over. Now, I kind of figured that this was going to happen here in Illinois because all cities are not, or states, I should say, are not locked down, but Illinois is locked down. We started tonight, well, this evening, I should say, 5 o'clock was our lockdown, and we're locked down until April 6th. So because of that lockdown, there's a lot of things been going on. It's like people been losing their mind, going crazy. It's just been a real big mess. And also after that lockdown, some of you know what I went through with transitioning from the job I just had to a new one. Well, because of this lockdown, I received the email from HR of my new job that I won't be starting on Monday, March 23rd. I won't be starting until they get back to me, which I kind of figured and I kind of knew. So it's just like I was waiting on that. You know how you waiting on something to come and you know it's coming. I was waiting on that email or that call, and I was sure enough received it when I was out coming back from the store. The lady, the human resource lady from my new job reached out to me and said, hey, Jeff, because of state being locked down, you know, till April 6th, unfortunately, we have to postpone your start date from March 23rd until further notice. We'll get back to you, which is fine. So that gives me a chance to finish my fifth book, that I should have been done with and gave over to my editor, but I'm not, and also my sixth book. And the ironic and miraculous thing about this lockdown is, like I said, it's given me the chance to finish both of those books, but I'm going to definitely finish my sixth book, so it'll even be done before my fifth book. So this all kind of worked out for me, and it just gives us a time to reflect and just sit. I know some of us are, like, losing our minds and going crazy, and I'm tired of hearing everybody's conspiracy theory about this on Facebook as far as how deadly it is, how this and how that's going on, and when it's going to end, and all this other junk and so forth. My whole situation and take on the thing is this. If you love Jesus and have him in your heart, what should you fear? It's even people that got God in their heart and their life and still fear. It's like God did not give us a spirit of fear. So it's like, why are you fearing this? It's like the first time I noticed my mind going into rapid mode, watching the news, I stopped watching the news. I don't even look at the news no more since this has been going on, because it starts to plague your brain and you start to think about it. And it's like, that's going on with it and seeing the deaths and this and that. Who wants to keep hearing that every day? And it's just like people aren't just on Facebook, and I had to get off fear a couple of times. It's like you get tired of seeing that over and over again. The coronavirus is doing, this is so deadly and blah, 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 and everybody this. Let me tell y'all something. Let's, at this time, reflect. Whoever we living with, sit with them, and just be thankful we don't have the virus. And stay off the street. Please, by all means, if you don't have to go out, stay out the street. And I bet you it's some hard-headed Illinoisans here. Even though we done had this lockdown at 5 o'clock, I can guarantee you it's some hard-headed Illinoisans that are out there right now on the street driving and this and that. And it's like we don't want martial law to take effect. They're just trying to do it now with the police. But if you got the ignorant people that don't want to listen, then that's when they're going to bring it in. You know, so it's just like, let's do what we got to do to get through this. Because just like everybody wants this to be over, we got to do our part so it can be over. You know, so if we got to stay in, let's stay in, get you some movies, get you some groceries. And by all means, two people, stop emptying the grocery stores and not letting everybody get what they need to get. I'm so sick of standing in these wrapped around the building lines at Walmart, the grocery store. It's like, come on now, y'all. How much toilet tissue can you pack up in your house? How much paper towels can you pack up in your house? What is the thing with toilet tissue and paper towel? I can see paper towel. But toilet, what is the thing with the toilet tissue? And that's been my whole question since the first started with this coronavirus. What is the thing with this toilet tissue? Like, why do y'all have to get so many big things of toilet tissue? It's like, is it going to cure you? You know, is it going to help you out? What's the? I just want to know what it is, because I would get toilet tissue, sure enough, but what I'd be mostly trying to focus on staying in the house and being quarantined is food and water, the bare necessities. And then also reaching out to my billing company as far as the phone bill, your car note, this and that. And let me tell you something. These places, T-Mobile, Sprint, Verizon, they need to be doing something. AT&T need to be doing something for their customers now that we're going through this. I believe people should not have to pay bills, should not have to pay their phone bill, any bills, period, for at least 2 months right now. That's a shame that they still taking money for it. People like me, even though I'm really not hurting. But if I was in a situation to where I am hurting because I'm not starting my new job yet, what are you going to do for me? Because it's not my fault I don't have a job. You know, but take for instance somebody else that's in this predicament that don't know where their funds are coming from. We don't even really know. They say we get these stimulus checks. When are they actually coming? I mean, they gave a date, but are they actually coming, and when are they actually coming? You know, so it's like, what are these companies doing for these, you know, people like, you know, that don't have any money? It should be a lockdown on everything, not just locking us down. They need to lock down bills. They need to lock down car notes, mortgages, rent. All that should be locked down because we can't do anything right now. So why do we still have to pay bills? So it seems we locked down, everything should be locked down. And that's just my honest to God's opinion, you know. So I'm going to still reach out to my phone carriers, my car insurance, and everything else that I'd have to pay to find out what you're going to do for me, because it's not my fault I'm not starting my new job right away. Or if I even lost my job because of the coronavirus situation, because you got people that work in these restaurants where you go sit in and eat that can't work because the coronavirus, and people say, well, they're going to get paid from unemployment. That's not what I saw on the news before I turned it off. I saw a couple of restaurant, mom and pop restaurants, saying they couldn't pay their, you know, in-store waitresses and waiters, you know, money. So it's like, what's going to happen for them while they're waiting on these stimulus checks? I believe that all bills should cease and desist right now since we're going through all of this. Because this is such a big epidemic that done came in so quickly and done so much damage and so quick of a time, we should not have to pay any bills or anything. Since we got to stay put, them bills should stay put. So that's just my honest to God's opinion. But like I said, for me, I'm working on my two novels. I'm going to have my sixth novel knocked out before my fifth one. I'm going to try to not gain any weight, because that's all we can sit in the house and do is watch movies, watch TV, and eat. And I see these challenges that people are doing with these 30, 40 push-ups and this and that. That's cool for some, but you got some people that's like, okay, since I'm not actively in a gym, why would I want to sit on Facebook and do, you know, sit-ups and this and that and push-ups and or click on a video to watch a person on my phone or my TV doing a YouTube, you know, exercise? It's easier said than done, because if you go into the gym, you're more active than actually being at home doing it. And I'm not knocking those that can do it, but what I'm saying about those that don't have that, you know, will, their willpower, their mentality, let's try to not gain weight. You know, I got my Wii at the house. I'm going to pull that out and do my Wii Fit. I got a couple of Tabo DVDs and other stuff, too, to push myself, because I don't need to gain any more weight. I'm already at my point up here where I need to be getting this weight off. And now if this doesn't happen, it's like, oh, man, I'm sitting at home writing and doing other stuff. But it's like, okay, you got your refrigerator stocked, because I know mine is stocked, and I hope some of y'all can, if y'all have not, please get your refrigerator stocked. And if you can help other people to get their refrigerator stocked, please help them too. But stock your refrigerator. But when your refrigerator is stocked and you sitting at home and you, like, don't have nothing to do, you don't have nobody to talk to and this and that, we have the conscious meaning of those. Some of us, let me just say, clear it up, I don't want nobody correcting me, but some of us have that conscious memory to say, let's eat. You done made a big breakfast, you done made a big lunch, you done made a big dinner, and then when all this is over, you done gained about 40, 50 pounds. You don't want to do that, so try to keep healthy foods in your refrigerator. You know, we don't have that pizza, we don't have them hamburgers, this and that, but keep you some vegetables, keep you some fruit. If you got a snack, get fruit. Yogurt and granola is very good. I've been doing that since I got off my chocolate kick, and it's really been helping. Substituting for chocolate candy, I've been eating yogurt and granola, so that's a really good thing. And by all means, drink water, and encourage the elderly people to drink water too. Keep yourself hydrated during this coronavirus period, because even though you know you're not going outside, you want to keep yourself hydrated. And like I said, by all means, stay in the house. You don't got to go out. Stay in the house. If you don't got to be at the grocery store, don't be at the grocery store. Let somebody else get their refrigerator stocked. You already got your refrigerator stocked. You don't have to be at the grocery store every day. The grocery store, let it be. But as I stated in the beginning of this show too, Illinois is on a lockdown now. We're on a lockdown till April 6th. So if you do not have that letter to be out there on the streets, if you get pulled over, I believe you're going to get a warrant in the first half. They pull you over again, they're taking you in. That's what they're doing. So here in Illinois, we are really on a lockdown. If you're not a healthcare worker or don't have to be out there and you don't have that letter, you are going to get locked up if they give you a warning at the first offense. They see you out there again, they locked up. Everybody from Chicago, all my Illinois people, let's stay in the house. If you don't have to go out, stay in the crib. We don't have to go out. Stay in the crib. You ain't got to go to the grocery store. You ain't got to go to get medicine. You ain't got to go get gas. You really, really don't need to be getting no gas because you're not really going nowhere, but you need to do keep your tank filled. But if you're not really going anywhere, just stay in the house. Sit down. Just chill out. You know, this kind of maybe this happened to keep the world on a chill out hiatus. You know, let's just chill out. Keep our masks constructive. Stop watching the negativity, but chill out for a second. You don't got to be out, because I really believe this is going to be over with after it's all said and done very soon. I really believe it's not going to last as long as they say it's going to be. I should say it has disrupted a lot, but I really truly believe in my heart that this is going to end pretty soon. And, you know, let's not get crazy when it ends. You know, everybody's going to be like little kids ready to get outside, so let's not just start doing everything at once. And also, let's reflect back on this time that we sat in the house. What did we learn from this, or what did we gain from this besides it being a loss? What did it teach us? What did it teach us to be humble in certain things and to not look down on CNAs and McDonald's and Burger King workers and things of that nature that still have to go to work and provide for us while some of us that work in office jobs are at home? What do we learn about the CNA? What do we learn about the people that work at McDonald's, the Burger King, and the grocery stores? Not to look down on them because they on top, and the people that's working in the office, we either at home or laid off. So it's like, what do we learn from this? That's the whole entire thing after this. Like I said, it's going to probably be over pretty soon. I hope it's been. I've been praying about it. And like I said, let's just when it's over, just keep calm. Don't go out and do too many things at once. People said they're going to be traveling. They're going to be out kicking it. Let's just take it one day at a time. We happy to be back out, but we don't need to be doing everything at one time. So that's just my take on that. And like I said, also stay healthy. Make sure you wash your hands. Make sure you sanitize your hands. And if you don't have to be at work, stay home. But make sure you wash and sanitize your hands because it's crazy. And it's like we just keep seeing, like I said, I had to turn the news off because I got tired of seeing it, but this case is just keep coming up. So just keep your hands and things washed and just chill out for the time being. So because these restaurants that promote my show are not open, but they are doing Uber Eats and things like that, I'm going to just shout them out. Mickey's on Stony, Sungary, Indiana, Raise the Bar in Markham, Popcorn Culture in Phoenix, and Layla Sports Bar and Grill. These restaurants sponsor my show every week, and I'm glad about that. I'm praying that they get back to where they are. They've been doing the Uber Eats and this and that, and I just really believe this thing's going to be over pretty soon. So, needless to say, like I said, just be safe and keep everything. And if you don't got God in your life, just ask, just talk to him. Pray out to him. You know, some of us got God. Like I said, that's why I'm not worried about it, because from this situation from the beginning, I look to God for help, strength, and I pray to him. I may not be in church as much as I used to be back in my younger days, but I pray to him and I have a relationship with him, and that's why I'm not so worried, because somebody even asked me, why are you not so worried? Well, I'm not, because I got God in my life. He holds tomorrow, so, you know, and if it's my time, like the old school song say, if I die, let me die in the army of the Lord. That's all I'm saying. All right, so I am going to move to the section of the show where we talk to the author, because DaVita Buckman Reed has a ton of calls in my queue, and I know this, I should say, these are all her people. So I'm going to take DaVita earlier than 20 minutes after, because I want to get a chance to talk to all these people, and I don't want to run over the show. So once we do take the caller segment, if you are calling in for DaVita, I ask you to keep it at 2 minutes, please, because 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock gets it quick, and the show cuts off. So I ask you to be at 2 minutes. Please don't dwell on, well, I went to school with him. I understand that. We want to keep it at 2 minutes, because if the show cut off, it's going to cut everybody off. So please, please, please call in. Callers, call in audience. Let's keep it to a 2 minute minimum. But without further ado, because I do see DaVita in the queue, we are going to bring on DaVita Buckman Reed. She is going to tell us who she is, how many books she's written, and all that good stuff. So Saturday Spotlight. Callers and listeners, give it up for my girl, Miss DaVita Buckman Reed. DaVita, good evening. How are you?
Good evening. Good evening, Jeffrey. I am great. Thank you for having me again. I want to extend my gratitude to you. I really want you to receive this. This is a blessing, your platform, and I am honored, and I appreciate it.
Oh, no problem. And I'm happy to have you on. And like I said, you're such a humbling and such a positive spirit. And I'm glad we connected, because from day one, it's just been nothing but, you know, good energy between the both of us. And I like the fact that you've encouraged like I've encouraged you. So I thank you again for wanting to be on the show, too.
Yes. And I want to say I love all my people who called in. Thank you so very much for supporting me in this. And no matter what I do, I think I say, of course, all glory goes to God. Nothing of me, all glory goes to God.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. You have quite a few callers in this queue.
Yes, thank you so much.
Yes. No problem.
So I'm pretty excited about. So I'm pretty excited about this book, A Foot in Each Realm, that I've had the pleasure of getting my story out to the world and being a part of this. I never actually seen myself as a writer, although I've always loved books and reading and such. But myself as an author, I've never really thought of myself as a writer. So when this came to me a couple of years ago, actually I was in the spirit. And it was like spirit that God baptized me with. This is what I mean by I was in the spirit. And I spoke it and I said, and I have a book. And I was like, dang, you know, after it was all over, I self-reflected on it because I said many things. But that took me by far way out the, what? I have a book? And, you know, so it just started turning the wheel in my mind towards that because I received it. I'm like, okay, well, hey, if it came from the Lord, then it's going to come to fruition. It's going to come to pass.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, maybe a couple of months after this, because all of this kind of started happening for me as far as the revelation of the book in 2017. And the Lord told me, given everything that you've experienced and overcome, you got to get the story out or someone else is going to have to go through it because I need it out there. And I mean, my heart just dropped. I'm like, oh, I'm going to have to do what I have to do because not only do I not even want to think about half the stuff I went through or would I want to go through it again, I wouldn't even wish it on nobody. You know, because it's very strange, it's different, and I've been dealing with the supernatural in my own way since I was very young child, you know, before the age of five, actually, because I remember my fifth birthday vividly, but before the age of five, you know, I remember sitting in my room, sitting on the bed, having conversations with God, just sitting there in his presence. And this is something that was not taught to me. You know, although my grandparents always took me and my sister and my cousins and all of us or whatever to church all the time, it still was not taught to me to just sit and kick it with God. You know, a lot of people, they make it so complicated, like you have to be, you know, articulate to say a prayer to God for him to hear you. You have to be so, you know, anointed to, you know, and it's not that. It's just like if our child comes speaks to us, it's a conversation. Because God
right.
knows everything anyway,
mm-hmm.
you know. And so after that, you know, like I said, growing up, I dealt with the spirit of rejection in my home. And that was really tough for me. But at the same time, I had strong grandparents. I had strong family members, period. You know, people around me, they were very strong. But, you know, that spirit of rejection wants to break you down and make you feel like you're nothing. You know, you mean nothing. You are nothing. You better be even lucky I'm talking to you type of, you know, oppression on you. And as a kid, that's important, you know, to mention because kids are vulnerable. That's how we develop into the human beings that we are. When you see a human, and you're like, man, they so weak. They, you know, they don't have no self-esteem. It's a reason for that. They didn't just, you know, decide overnight, oh, I'm worthless. This was
right.
tagged at them over and over and over and over and over. So they accepted it. They believed it, you know. You know, so there's so much to say about this book because it is my entire life. It's actually a quick read. It's actually a very quick read. It's like 90-something pages, less than 100 pages. So it's saying a lot for over 40 years of experiences. However, of course, I could have put everything in it, But I feel like I touched on everything, you know, from, like I was saying, how I grew up kind of struggled with self-esteem. And then you get into the teenage years where the peer pressure kicks in and you want to be accepted. Again, there's that want to be accepted, you know, want to be accepted and this and that. Always had God, always went to church. So that foundation was set. You know, but again, me being human, I got that need for human love, human attention, human companionship, just spiraled out of control. You know, I made very, very, very terrible decisions in my younger adult life to even my mid-30s, going into my 40s. That was extremely costly. And I don't mean just costly as far as financially, which that too. But not only that, I mean, costly as far as my spirituality. I hindered my spirit greatly. You know, and it says, don't grieve the spirit. You grieve the spirit when you are living contrary to God, how God wants us to live. And I know a lot of people say, well, we're free, we're free, we got freedom. Yeah, we do have free will because God didn't make robots. You know, he didn't make robots to say, okay, everybody is going to serve me this way and that's that, but he also created each one of us for a divine purpose, with a divine purpose. And when we submit to God, it's not taking away our identity, it's actually getting in line with our identity. Because wouldn't our Creator know better than we who we really are? You know, so sometimes people got to get out of that, and I say, and I say that because I was one of those people. You know, I remember going to church one Sunday. I was in my 30s, definitely. And I got there a little early, sat down in the pew, just cracked open the Bible. Didn't even, because like I said, I was there early, so we didn't have a book, chapter, and verse to go to. I just, boop, let's do this, you know. And the first thing I set my eyes on was the scripture, be ye sober. Be ye sober. And it instantly hit me, you know, because the word of God, it'll get you, boy. It'll convict you in a minute. So it instantly got me, and I got to talking to God. I was like, oh, God, oh, why you call me out like that? Oh, you know, and I'm going back and forth. But what I learned was God is not going to debate, argue, go back and forth. He is God. So he already told me, guess what? I'm going back and forth with my flesh. Oh, I think I'm going to miss some because I sure love my wine. You know, I don't know what my body makeup was about, but I didn't like beer because of the taste. And I couldn't drink liquor because it wouldn't give me a buzz. And that's strange. I know people like, liquor is strong. It really should have towed you up. You on that wine, but that's what I responded to. Now, later, after all of this is over, I found out I was allergic to sulfites, and wine is full of sulfites. So, of course, my body reacted to something I'm allergic to.
Wow. Yeah.
So the whole time I'm feeling lightheaded and thinking it's a buzz, I'm sending my body through all kind of stuff. But, you know, because I didn't listen, you know, it cost me greatly because I kept going after what I felt I wanted. The world, offer you this. You're going to take it. You take what you want. Until what you want takes you. And then I got to the point, dang, I don't even really want this wine, but I'm steady pouring it. Steady pouring it. It had me. Like I had no control over my life anymore. The sin was now living me. And it was terrible. And like I said before, you know, any of this jumped off, I had always been a spiritual, I've always been spiritually aware. Like I've seen spirits, heard spirits, interacted with spirits. And you know, I didn't really have anyone to talk to about that. I talked to my siblings about it. Ebony knows about the grocery store man on the gable house we grew up in. And my sister Marge, who's already passed over to the next part of our life, because this ain't over once we leave this body. You know, she experienced a lot more with me because pretty much every home I moved to, she was with me, and it was always some type of spiritual activity in every home. And so I didn't really, so my options were limited. You know, it was more like a taboo. Oh, man, don't talk about that. You know, don't nobody want to, either from fear, like you mentioned before when he was talking, God didn't give us the spirit of fear, but a lot of people are afraid of even delving into that. And if they do get a little bit of, you know, revelation, if they do see something or hear something, or they'd be like, man, did you just hear that? Did that just, you know, they just shove it off like, no. You know, they try to rationalize it or excuse it away, or I'm tripping, I'm sleepy, or, you know, anything but to deal with reality. There is a spirit world.
Yes.
You know, so I was stuck with a lot of all of that, and I was oppressed. I was severely tormented. I was straight up in hell. A hell. You know, and I'm not sure if many people know about gin devils, because I had to learn about them too. But they had territorial rulership over this home that I lived in for 14 years. Of course, when I bought the home, I was clueless. I didn't know. But the people who sold me the house, they knew. You know, because I later found out it's little different drawings and stuff in the closets that they kids drew, which I know they purposely left. Like, well, we're going to at least give her a hint, you know, that sort of thing. Because if you're going to clean out a house, you're going to clean it out. So that, you know, when I first moved into that house, that was May of 2003. And it was really haunted. I mean, a lot of dark spirits roamed around that mug, like. And, yeah, so, I mean, I just had to write it all in this book. It's not even really possible to talk about everything, because once I talk about something, it spirals into something else, because this is my life, like I said. Everything is connected. But what I do want to mention is I was so deeply tormented, and it was because I was walking in sin and unwilling to walk away, because before it jumped off super, 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 super bad, God warned me, be ye sober. I mean, because that really was my thing. Everything else I kind of, you know, had together. I dealt with, you know, celibacy many years, many different times. I'm celibate. It's nothing for me. You know, that's nothing. So it wasn't really a fornication type or adultery type thing for me, even though I've done that too. But it was really about the drinking, the alcoholism. That was the spirit that had me. Low self-esteem, people please, just terrible. Anyhow, because of everything I went through, and I was really seeing them spirits and being dogged out. I mean, I was even yanked out the bed once. One time, boom, just woke up like, oh, y'all play too much. You know, because it really got to the point where I was talking to them. You know, I'm exercising one day, just shadow boxing. Boom, 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 boom. My shoulder get pushed from the back. I'm like, oh, see, now we're putting our hands on each other. It got really, really bad. And because of the way I chose to live my life, I also put my children in jeopardy. Because the way you walk, your children are following behind you. If you walking in the hell, guess who you taking with you? Your kids. Yeah, I know. It seems like, oh, no, not the kids. Well, you did that, and I did that. You know what I'm saying? So, hey. But what I do want to say before this is all over, I want to say that God didn't give us a spirit of fear, but because I felt so stuck in that hell, in that torture, the torment, the oppression, I was seized with fear. I really was afraid. Not for my life, because I knew my actual soul belonged to God, but I just, I mean, the dreams were tormenting me. I went 7 days without sleeping just because I couldn't even take it. I couldn't take a dream,
wow.
Another dream. And when I went those 7 days without sleeping, I stopped eating after 2 days. So then it turned into not only 7 days of not sleeping, but 5 days of not eating. And my mind cracked. I was like, boop, you know, a whole nother problem, you know, on top of everything else that was going. So, you know, I sold that house, needless to say, after 14 years. You think I would have got out of there earlier, but, hey, it is what it is. And finally sold that house, and I caught myself moving, right? I'm just going to move. Forget Michigan. I'm out of here. Well, guess what? The spirits attached themselves to me because when I went to Alabama, guess who was there? A whole crew, all of the spirits that was in Winchester Court. There,
oh,
talking
wow.
to my parents. Talking to me through my parents. Everybody, I go to the grocery store. Some odd person come walking past me saying something. I'm like, oh, man, come on. I can't even go to Texas. I only lasted 2 months in Alabama. I got out of there. Went to Texas. Guess what? You can't run. Ain't no running. You got to face them. You got to face them. And the only way you can face them is with God, period, point blank, because ain't nothing bigger, badder, stronger, mightier than God, the end, period. So that's what it boiled down to. Now, when I was in Alabama, I don't know how much time I got, Jeffrey, but I really want to read this, an angel encounter, because God sends messenger angels, our guardian angels, our warrior angels. He has a whole host of angels for certain purposes. You go do this, go do that. You know, they look out for us.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was in Alabama, and this was at my worst, this was at my worst state ever in my entire life. I was riding with my mother, and we went to the post office. And I looked up, as soon as we turned into the driveway, I mean, you know, the parking lot or whatever, I seen this man standing on the flower bed. And he was standing like a strong, mighty soldier would stand, you know, like at attention. But his head was tilted up looking at the sky. And I thought to myself, I was like, wow, they have angels here? Like I instantly knew he was an angel. I instantly knew he was an angel. So I was, wow, they got angels here. So my mom pulled up and parked. She was like, don't look at them. But my mom didn't actually say this out of her mouth. I was hearing the spirits in my mind, like, tell her, like, they thought, you know, they were speaking to my man. My man was speaking to their man like that. I didn't have to open my mouth, that sort of thing. So the one Jezebel spirit, she was like, don't look at them. And my mom got out, went to the post office. I'm sitting there with my head down, again, terrified, just fear just all over me. And my mom got back in the car. But before she got back in the car, I heard the angel speak. And he was like, who is that? And I said, that's my mom. And that's all he said. And then my mom got back in the car. And then I got up the nerve to look at him as we was pulling off, as we was driving off. I just looked, you know, turned my head and looked at him. Soon as my eyes looked at that man, my head snapped real quick, boom, up to the sky. I looked at the sky and I yelled. I said, look into the hills, for whence cometh your help. I was like, woo-hoo-hoo. Oh, baby, you talking about some power right there? I didn't feel fear ever since. Then it was gone. Look unto the hills from whence cometh your help. Period. Won't he do it? Won't he do
yes,
it?
Ma'am.
He will do it. But you got to be fully submitted. You got to be fully dedicated. This is not no game. This is the real deal. Period. I mean, I live it. I live it. I walk it. I talk it. I live it. I breathe it. I yearn for it. I love God because I know where he brought me from. He healed me. My mind was gone. Just when I tell you, they had already declared me depressed, manic depressed, all the way up to borderline schizophrenic. My mind gone. And, you know, my health was bad. I was overweight. I still could lose some pounds, like you were saying, watch out for this sitting in the house. But, you know, I was throwing up blood. I was fainting, boo-booing blood. I was dying. I had an out-of-body experience, actually. I had a seizure. Next thing I know, I'm outside the car, looking inside the car at myself having the seizure. And the next thing I know, I don't know how much time elapsed, but I woke up screaming for dear life. My daughter was standing looking right at me. And I was like, be afraid, be very afraid. And she was just staring at me like, because, I mean, my kids already seen me go through so much, so nothing really rattled them as strange. You know, but I don't know what all I saw, but what I do know is I don't want to see it again. I'm walking right because I don't got time. I don't got time for
yes.
that.
Yes.
So,
yes.
You know, I urge people to get the book. You know, not so much as, like I said, it to learn about me, but it's about the situations that I dealt with, how I overcame, and the only way you can overcome is fully submitting to God. And you can only make peace with God through Jesus Christ, because the same way Adam made us all sinners, yes, God provided a way for us all to come back. And the truth is that Jesus is that life that we need to live our life through. Truth, the way, and the life. The way, the truth, and the life. And that's it. You got your choice. You accept it or you don't. But, hey, when people say, oh, I believe in Jesus, guess what? I know Jesus. And I can say that. I know Jesus. And I know God. When you know, it's way beyond belief. You can believe, but when you know, everybody contrary to that, keep it, because y'all don't know what you're talking about, and I'm going to pray for you, because that's the real. So
okay.
I'm going to end this interview on that. Thank you.
Okay.
Glory to God, babe.
So, yes. So what's the title of your book?
A Foot in Each Realm. Realm is
okay.
R-E-A-L-M. No, different world.
Yes.
Yep.
Okay.
Spiritual and the natural.
Okay, and where can they purchase it at? Do you have copies on you? Are you on Amazon or?
Yes, I'm on Amazon, and you can get it on Amazon. You can get the paperback book on Amazon, $11.99, or you can go to Kindle, get an e-book that's still on Amazon. Amazon.com, the Kindle version. That means you could just download it on your phone, read it on your phone. Or if you'd rather have a book in your hand, order the paperback. But me, yeah, you could get it straight from me. Anybody that wants to read it, like I said, from the beginning to like the middle of the book is more about me growing up and teenager, young adult, that sort of thing. But once that middle hit and after my accident and tell you how I got the lawsuit and all of that and walking into that haunted house, baby, it's spiritual warfare after that. It's on and popping. That's the stuff that's almost unbelievable, but, you know, it is what it is. I didn't fabricate nothing. I didn't embellish
right.
a word. Facts. All facts. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what's your social media handle if people want to contact you?
Social media handle? My name?
Yeah, like, yep, your Facebook.
Yeah, Davita Buckman Reed. Yep, Davita Buckman Reed. That's it. And my links to my books, Ebony taught me that. Put on your Facebook page. And, you know, so that's it.
Okay. All right.
And that's
any
all
Instagram,
I got
Twitter?
My Facebook. Nah,
okay.
No, I don't have all of that.
Okay.
I need to start, you know, marketing more and getting out there. You know, who knows? I'm just,
yeah, cause
you know.
Yeah, you never know who needs to hear your story.
Yes. Yep. And that's another thing my daughter say, Mommy, you always telling your business. Every time you talk to somebody, you got to tell them something. Hey, I mean, because how many people are really talking about it? It's so hush-hush. Don't nobody want to... And I'm not saying, oh, man, you crazy. Get on out of here with that mess. You know, well, I'm going to tell it because 9 times out of 10, the part when I'm talking to somebody openly and honestly about what I experienced, guess what? They come in with something that they experienced because they not ashamed to say it.
Yep.
And so, yeah.
That's true.
But okay. I really trust in the Holy Spirit to get this book in the hands of those that maybe are, you know, experiencing things similar to what I went through and don't know, you know, what to do or whatever. Because God taught me a lot that I wasn't taught by the church or in going to church and, you know, stuff like that. So, yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to take a couple of calls before the show ends. I'm going to take a few calls in the queue because you got quite a few people in here, but I'm going to take a few calls. And I just ask everybody just to keep it to 1-2 minutes minimum, please. First call I'm going to take is area code 702, and the last 4 digits is 7860. You are on the Saturday Spotlight with DaVita Buckman Reed and Jeff. Go ahead and speak.
Hello.
Hey, Auntie Sharon.
Yes, how are you?
I'm great. Thank you for
calling.
I wanted to mention to Jeff also in Christmas 2018 when you were up here visiting with me.
Yes,
and I was discussing the, you know, my idea and the book with you and everything, and you encouraged me, and I appreciate that.
You're so welcome.
You remember what you said, DaVita? Yeah, you know, you can, it's companies out there that'll help you get it together.
Right. I had started my own book. How are you? What you said, your name is Rochelle?
Jeffrey Rochelle, yeah.
Jeffrey Rochelle, hi.
I'm good. How about you?
Excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
Pardon me?
I'm listening.
Jeffrey?
Yeah, he said he's good, Auntie.
I can't hear you.
Yeah, he said he's good. So I was just wanting to thank you for getting me to, you know, giving me that extra boost and motivation to seek out the people that could even help me compile this book, like structure it and get it together. And that's where I found Story Terrace, they sent out a writer, and I gave her all of my notes and emails and my voice recorder, all my everything, and she put it all together, and there we go.
Oh, yeah, it's wonderful. I read the excerpts.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you, Auntie. I appreciate you for calling.
Oh, you're welcome. I'm enjoying your show.
Thank you. And where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Las Vegas.
I am a
78-year-old student.
Trier
University. I'm working in my master's program and really enjoying starting late. I had started a book after I got back home from Detroit. But I think I was shredding papers. I had a lot of spirals, and I think I shredded the one that I started my book in. So I'm gonna have to go back over some things and start it over again.
Okay,
yes, please
go ahead.
Keep going. Thank you, Auntie.
Gotta get that book out.
Yes, you're welcome.
All right, have a good evening.
Okay, you too, and thank you. Bye-bye.
No problem, thank you. Mm-hmm. All right, next caller. Area code 209, last 48234. You're on the Saturday Spotlight with DaVita Buckman, Reed, and Jeff. Go ahead and speak.
Hello, hi.
Is this Mo?
How you doing?
Hello. Yeah, hey.
Hey, babe, that's my son. I ain't recognize that number.
Yeah.
That must be Patricia's phone.
Yeah.
Oh, all right. Yes, this is my son. So if you have a quick minute, Maurice, you know, just a little bit of how it was for you growing up, knowing, you know, your mom was seeing and dreaming and this and that. And if you will, things that you experienced. Quickly, though.
Well, you know, it was kind of normal, I guess, since I grew up with it. You know, I experienced a few scary things, few good things. And yeah, you know, that's about it. It wasn't that hard or nothing like that.
Okay. All right.
All right.
And where you calling from?
Detroit, Michigan.
Okay, cool, cool. It's so nice to meet you.
You too, man.
All right, thanks for calling in.
Okay, yep, thank you.
All right, thanks.
Okay, all right. We got area code 313, and the last four is 9454. You're on the Saturday Spotlight with Davita Buckman-Reed and Jeff. Go ahead and speak.
Oh, this is cool. This is me, her friend Danielle from school.
What up, Danny?
Congratulations.
Thank you, dear. Thank you. Thank you very much. And thank you for calling in. Thank you for supporting me, too.
Yes, I love you. I love what you're doing. And, Jeff, I am enjoying your show, too. I am very new to this. And just liked all what you had to say. So I'm going to keep it short. Congratulations. I love you and your friend for life. And, Jeff, keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you, babe.
I appreciate that.
And he's on here every Saturday at 9, too, with a different author.
I know. I'm going to keep the number in my phone. This is so cool. Look at me. I'm on the radio.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank
for
you, babe.
Bye.
All right, take care. All right, we got area code 586, and the last four is 1435. You're in the Saturday Spotlight with Davita Buckman-Reed and Jeff. Go ahead and speak.
Hi, Vita.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Praise the Lord. I enjoyed it very much, especially Jeffrey. When he first came on, I was going to hang up. He's going to make a talk about this, but he was talking about the Lord and what we should do. So I enjoyed him as well as you. I'm proud of you from Detroit, Michigan, Motor City. And I knew
Amen.
And I know you asked it, so I know the difference that you made in your life. I'm so proud of you. And that
Thank
you accepted Christ in your life and you are there with
yes.
the place and get him to help you get rid of these demons. Because that's
yes.
why you tell us to put on the whole army. We can't fight this by ourselves. You know, so
that's
we
right.
have to accept Christ. And I'm glad you did. I'm so proud of you because you got my grandson and my great-great-grandson. So I love
That's
you.
Right.
And you did a good job. Good job. I appreciate that. And, Jeff, I will be listening at you from now on, too. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so very much. Yeah, that's my son who just came off. That's his grandma. That's my girl, too.
Thank you.
Even though me and her son is divorced, we ain't friends or nothing. She's still my girl. She is so cool.
I love you.
I love you, too, babe.
Okay, so you take care of it. I'm looking for some more books now. Keep it going.
Well, all right. Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I got to meet you. A grocery store, a grocery bag, the bread, the miracle wheel, and the smoke. No. I just said, shut the goddamn door. If they say my fucking number, I ain't gonna be able to hear it.
Hello, DeVita?
Yes.
Okay, I don't know who that was.
They had a lot
going on. They had a lot going on.
That's the real boy right there.
Yeah. They had a lot going on. I don't know who that was. They had a lot going on. But just tell the people where they can reach you at again really, really quickly. Tell us really, really quickly where they could reach you at again.
Oh, you can find me on Facebook. My name is DeVita Buckman Reed. That is DaVeDa, last name BuckmanReed. And the book is called A Foot in Each Realm. You can cop that on Amazon. You can get a paperback book, $11.99, or you could get the Kindle ebook version of it for $4.99. I appreciate all the love, support, one love, God bless, and put God first. You'll start winning, because you can't win with sin. Better know
that's
that.
True.
Amen.
That's true.
And
amen.
Glory
well,
to God,
I have...
and God bless you.
Yes, and I have enjoyed you on here again. And when you get that second book out, I want to have you on again.
All right. All right. Thank you.
You're welcome. Well, you be safe and have a good rest of the weekend, and a good week, okay?
Yes, I will. All righty. I appreciate
right.
you. Bye-bye.
So there you have it. Tonight we talked to author DeVita Buckman Reed. You can look for her on Facebook. It's DaVeDa Buckman Reed. That is author DeVita Buckman Reed. Thank you again for coming on tonight, DeVita. I have enjoyed you. I have enjoyed your family and friends calling in, and I look forward to you being on the show again. So I know this will not be your last time, but it's your first time, but it won't be your last. And again, stay safe and always keep God first. Next week, we talk to author Onyx, as everybody knows her, but she goes by Black Fire on Facebook and her other social media handles. Next week will also be, unfortunately, my last show until the end of July, August, not only just with me needing to finish the two books that I need to put out, also some other things are going on, and then also with this coronavirus is going around, so I will be taking a break for a couple of months, but I'll be back the end of July, early August, and I'll keep everybody updated when I come back as well. But next week is my last show on the Saturday Spotlight, so you want to tune in for Author Onyx, a.k.a. Black Fire. As always, keep God first. What you do for Christ is the only thing that will last. Stay safe. Wash your hands, sanitize, please. You don't got to go out, don't go out. And I catch you, whether you're listening or calling in.